Welcome back to Through the Word. I'm your host, Peyton Jones, and today we'll be in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. When I worked at Starbucks, they used to give out a series of booklets containing excuses of why you were late to work. Have you ever struggled to get up and go to work? Maybe you've hit the snooze button on the alarm one too many times and rolled into work late to punch the time clock. You weren't lacking excuses to get to work. You were actually lacking the motivation. When the boss takes you aside to have that little talk, it usually provides all the motivation you need. Get here on time or get another job. Well, the Thessalonians had stopped showing up to work because they too lacked motivation. The false teachers had convinced them that Jesus had returned and that the end of the world was imminent. So they were just kind of waiting around, killing time. So Paul spends the bulk of this chapter, like a boss, trying to give them proper motivation to show up. Paul tells them that their witness stank. The Thessalonians were getting a reputation as some weird cult that made them quit their jobs. And as an incredibly hard worker himself, Paul was having none of it. So closing up this letter, Paul goes into what he calls other matters in verse 1. But those other matters really were two things. Number one, he asked for prayer for his own situation in verses 1 through 5. But then, in verses 6, he tells them, get back to work, and shame those who refuse to work at all, so they don't screw it up for the rest of you. Let's pick up in verse 6. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we command you, brothers and sisters, to keep away from every believer who is idle and disruptive and does not live according to the teaching you receive from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example. We weren't idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's food without paying for it. On the contrary, we worked day and night, laboring and toiling so that we would not be a burden to any of you. We did this not because we do not have the right to such help, but in order to offer ourselves as a model for you to imitate. For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule: the one who is unwilling to work shall not eat. Some people are allergic to work, and they seem to think that work was a result of the curse. But in Genesis, work was actually a gift from God. Did you know that Adam worked in Eden as a gardener before the fall? God worked for 6 days, then rested. And the ability to work by using our creativity and ability to produce effects upon the world around us is actually one of the ways in which we are created in the image of God. Work wasn't a result of the curse. Only the toil of it was. Toil is what makes unfulfilling work torture. Toil is defined as work done by the sweat of our brow that's hard, painful, and a drudgery. Paul feels strongly about this. He doesn't suggest in verse 6, note that he commands, for desperate times call for desperate measures. Paul saw work as witness. In fact, he points to his own example saying, you ought to follow our example. Verse 7, we weren't idle. Verse 8, we paid for our food. Verse 8 again, we worked around the clock. Verse 8, yet again, we never burden anyone financially by hoping they'd carry us, even though we could have. And verse 9, we did this as a model for you to copy. And lastly, once again in verse 9, we even left you with a maxim, he who does not work does not eat. Cross-reference Paul's example of a hard-working witness with the charge that not working hard made them idle and disruptive, according to verse 6. Now, this is a great glimpse into Paul's heart when he ministered to others, and it reminds me of a scene out of the film Band of Brothers, a miniseries about World War II paratroopers in the European theater. The commander finds one of his officers playing poker with the grunts, the lower-ranking enlisted men, and tells them, "Don't play poker with those men." When the other asks him why, the commander says, "Never put yourself in a position where you're taking from these men." Paul lived by that rule, that a leader should never take from those they minister to, but always leave them with more, to give more than they take. And who better modeled that than Jesus, who gave it all for us and took very little? Leaders who make bank, live like kings off of people's donations, and model a luxurious lifestyle might learn a thing or two from Paul here. Paul worked so hard at times, he had plenty of money, but he was also willing to sacrifice for the mission and go without if need be. Here's another maxim. If you're not working hard on mission, then mission will hardly work. and the mission was hardly working in Thessalonica. The Thessalonians' misunderstanding about Jesus coming was causing them not to show up for work. And when people don't have anything instructive to do, they find destructive things to do. Like the old maxim says, an idle mind is the devil's playground. Paul describes this destructive behavior they filled their time with after not showing up to work in verses 11 through 13. We hear that some among you are idle and disruptive. They're not busy, they're busybodies. Such people we command and urge in the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and earn the food they eat. And as for you, brothers and sisters, never tire of doing what is good. I love that phrase. They aren't busy, they're busybodies. Paul repeats the charge that they were idle and disruptive in hopes that they'll feel a little ashamed of themselves. Shaming people is normally something we're not into, but let's face it, sometimes people need to be ashamed of their own behavior. So Paul says in verse 14, if they refuse to work, pull back from them, like they touched the stinky cheese on the playground and brought it back to class with them. Paul is going to have those affected with the cheese touch sit out in the hallway, eating their sack lunches there alone until they learn to get back to work. It might seem a bit harsh, but Paul's not messing around. He sees salvation on the line for those who don't yet believe, being held back from the gospel by the bad living of those that were meant to proclaim it. Still in verse 15, Paul draws a good distinction. Yet do not regard them as an enemy, but warn them as you would a fellow believer. After all, the non-working Thessalonians were still believers, even if a little screwed up. That's why Paul ends with a blessing saying, the Lord of peace give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with you. I don't know about you, but every once in a while, we have to laugh at ourselves and our inconsistencies because Christians are still people. They still say and do stupid things like the rest of humanity. Although we can't control people, we can still be an example to them in areas that we've got it together. But remember, nobody has it all together in every area. Nobody except Jesus ever has. There's areas where I need others to lovingly remind me of what Jesus looks like and where my life doesn't look like his yet. This is why Paul prays, God himself give you peace at all times and in every way. If I can't get it together at all times in every way, at least God can give me peace at all times and in every way to cover it up. Before we close this letter, it's important to remember Paul's final points in the context of the entire letter. Let's summarize the two big truths from 2 Thessalonians. Number one, Jesus would never abandon us when he returns. And number two, he won't abandon us before he returns either. So stay humble, suffer well, get to work, learn to laugh at yourself, and walk in the peace that only he can give. I want to thank you for allowing me to be your guide on this journey through the Word, on our path through Thessalonians. I trust that you've been encouraged in his faithfulness and commitment to you, and I've been encouraged by your faithfulness to continue learning the Word of God.
Join us next time on Through the Word as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. Start your own journey through the Bible with our web and mobile apps at throughtheword.org. Our apps are free, so tell a friend. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.